Welcome to Heart with Keisha B., the podcast that focuses on the journey of grief, healing, and overcoming unforeseen circumstances. Whether you're dealing with loss or life challenges, this is a podcast that you don't want to miss. I am your host, Keisha B. So take a deep breath, open your mind and your soul, and sit back as we embark on this journey together. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Heart with Keisha B. Today, we have a very special guest with us today. And not only is she just a special guest because of the topic that we're talking about, but she's a special guest because she is my first. Let me say this again. She is my first guest on Heart to Heart with Keisha B. And when I start talking about and thinking about why I wanted to do this podcast, I realized that there are so many people out here in the world that not only are their stories personal to them, their stories can also be an inspiration to others out here. So today, our first episode is Forever Link, Coping with a Heartache, a Sibling Loss. Today, our special guest is Miss Jessica Fry. Hi, Jessica. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I am truly honored to not only be a guest on your podcast, but to be the first guest. That means so much to me. So thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you. Jessica, you want to sort of start by telling everyone not only just who you are by name, but why this particular episode was so important for you?
I just lost my sister in August of this year. So just about 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. And my sister was my best friend. She was someone who knew me like nobody else knew me. And as we talked about previously, I've experienced other losses in my life before, but this loss has been extremely different. Mm-hmm. And I've learned a lot through this process about grief that I didn't know before. And I have become extremely passionate in the last few months about speaking about it because there are so many things that I did, like I said, I didn't know, but that are kind of stigmatized, or it's like, I don't know if I should talk about this. I don't know who to talk to about this. And just, you know, the importance of talking about it, because it is uncomfortable for people to talk about, whether you're going through it or whether you're someone who is trying to support someone who is going through it. So I think sibling loss in particular is something that's not talked about enough. Mm-hmm. And I think it should be talked about.
You bring up a very interesting point there. I mean, I know that I've been on your podcast before. Mm-hmm. We've talked a lot about some losses that I have endured, the more recent loss of losing my son. But you said something that was very imperative that sort of hits home for me is sibling loss. Because when I think of my daughter, I have three children, but I think of my older daughter and I think of the connection that she and her brother had. And oftentimes when I'm going through my own grief, I feel like sometimes I cannot be there for her. And a lot of times it's because I'm grieving my son. I'm not grieving my sibling. Mm-hmm. And so what I share with her is that understand our grief is going to look different because your relationship with him was different. You know, your bonding mm-hmm. with him was different. So I think what you said was very imperative that not enough conversation it's had in regards to sibling loss and the effects and the bond that you had and that you're still trying to hold on to as much as you can. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When we talk about that, Jessica, do you want to sort of talk about what does that feel like holding on to the bond that in the memories of you and your sibling?
Yeah. So there's ways that I have been holding on to the bond with her. I will tell you that it's tricky because like when I talk about her, I still talk about her in the present tense and I find myself like correcting myself to change it to the past tense because she's not here anymore. And the things that I'm talking about like are past tense. They'll always be past tense now mm-hmm. because she's not here. She's not coming back. But I try to hold on to the bond by incorporating her into my everyday life yeah. the best ways that I can. And some days it's more things than others. Like, I don't know if you can see right now, I'm wearing flamingo earrings. My sister loved flamingos. So I dressed up for Halloween as a flamingo, which I know she was probably laughing at and telling me that I looked like an idiot, but mm-hmm. I didn't care because that was a way for me to honor her, to keep her spirit and our bond alive. You know, I tell stories about her to people, to anyone and everyone who will listen to me, you know, and sometimes people don't get the humor in it because it was something that only her and I understood. You know, I have connections with people who were also close to her, maybe that I didn't even really know before, just knew of, but like yes. Now we're closer because of her and the relationship that they had with her. So, you know, that one is something that I think is truly important because even though she's gone, it still kind of feels like I have a small piece of her. Right. Through those connections with other people. So, I mean, those are a few of the ways that I keep that bond alive between her and I.
Tell me about your sibling and the special role that she played in your life that you're still holding on to.
Yes. So I always tell this story whenever anyone asks about my sister, even before she passed away. So her and I are 7 years apart. She is younger than me. So when she was born, the first night that my parents brought her home from the hospital, she cried the entire night. And I vividly remember asking my parents if they could take her back. I was like, is this what having a little sister is like? Because I don't think I like it very much. And there was such a huge age difference between us that when we were younger, we did not get along at all. We fought about anything and everything. Mm-hmm. Everything was an argument.
Yes.
And people always used to tell me, someday you guys are going to love each other and you're going to be best friends. And I used to be like, yeah, right. No, we're not. We're never going to get there. But sure enough, we did. And we became the best of friends. We have matching best friend tattoos. There was another tattoo that we actually went and got together. And I went to visit her in California when she was going through a really difficult time in her life. I'm not someone who likes to talk on the phone. Her and I talked on the phone a lot during the day. We texted all day, every day. She lived in Colorado. Mm-hmm. I'm in New York. So we didn't see each other nearly as much as I would like to see her. But she was my person. I went to her about good things, bad things, silly things. Things that I was annoyed with. I complained to her about our parents because no one understands those things right. Like her and I do. And she was my best friend in a way that's different than like my actual best friend. Mm-hmm. Like we share a bond that is like no other bond that you have with anyone else in your life. You know, she, like I said, she always had a way of making me laugh. If I called her in tears or I was mad, you know, she had a way to just make me laugh. And then before I knew it, we were laughing about whatever it was that I called her to complain or cry about. She was an amazing person. And mm-hmm. she had a huge heart. I have a son. She loved her nephew more than I can even put into words. She means more to me and will always mean more to me than anyone. You know, she is that bond that we shared is one like no other.
Right. And so that's what I hear is that those are the memories that you hold on to. Those are those moments when you may find yourself moving into a sense of sadness. You're able to reflect upon some memories to cry. Right. Uh-huh. I'm sure sometimes laugh. Right. I think you said something. I think of my children. They were 2 years apart. My daughter, my son who passed away. And I know quite often they talked about me. Right. I was the crazy mom. I was the mom who didn't understand. But I was OK with that. Right. Because everybody needs a best friend. Everybody needs that go-to person. And mm-hmm. I think what I hear you saying, because I watched my daughter go through this, it's that moment when that go-to person is not there.
Yeah.
And then you start looking around at your support system of mm-hmm. how do I navigate this? Right.
Absolutely.
How do I navigate this new?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so that brings me to our next topic of conversation, which is one of the highlights of Heart to Heart with Keisha B is grief, uh-huh. right? As we know, grief can be deeply, deeply isolating. It will put us in a place to where sometimes we feel like even though we have all these people around, we're still stuck in this area by ourselves. You know, you have people say, I'll be there for you. And you do have people that are there for you, but grief sometimes can be very selfish and it can make you feel like you're alone by yourself. So do you want to share some things that has sort of helped you throughout your grief process?
Of course. Of course. So I will say that I do have an amazing support system around me. My friends, my family, they have shown up. I mean, especially in the first couple weeks after, like people were bringing food, they were checking on me. They were making sure that I was drinking water, that I was, you know, taking a shower, things like that. So, you know, I, and my son especially, he has been an incredible support. Like, I honestly don't think I would have gotten through what I've gotten through in these last 3 months if it wasn't for him. So my support system has been incredible. But also some things that I've done on my own. I journal every day. And a couple of my friends at my job had gotten me like a deck of grief affirmation cards. So every morning when I would get up and do my journaling, I would pull a card out of that deck. And it was just a reminder of, you know, whatever I was feeling in that moment was normal and it was okay. Mm-hmm. And that was important because I think sometimes when you're grieving, no matter what kind of loss it is, you question whether or not what you're feeling is normal or okay. So those cards really helped me. I also had, I don't know whether to call it a journal or not, but it was a book, like a guided kind of book where each chapter was like the different stage of grief. And then there was like questions at the end of the chapter. So it gave you an opportunity to kind of not only process what you read, but also process what you're feeling and then kind of write it out. There was sections where you could draw pictures. There was one particular chapter that it like gave you permission to throw something. It was like, if you are somewhere where you can do that safely and like, you know, not break things, not hurt yourself, not hurt someone else. So I was home that morning by myself and I like finished writing and then I threw the book into the wall. And it seems so silly, but it felt good for like someone, even if it was on a piece of paper, to give me permission to do that. So that, you know, that was really helpful. And then the other thing too, I also have a journal that I write to my sister in. Wow. Because one of the hardest things for me these last few months is not being able to pick up my phone and call her or text her. So I use that journal and sometimes it's a real short entry. Sometimes it's to tell her about something that happened that day that, you know, I can't tell her anymore. And also too, like Facebook has been good for that too, because, you know, her page is still on there. It's in memory of now, but like, I'll tag her and things. Like the first big thing was when my son started his first day of school this year, she was someone who I would always send a picture to of him and be like, here's your nephew on his first day of 11th grade. And when he walked out the door that morning, I like stood in my living room completely lost because I was like, I can't text her this picture. So what I did was I went on Facebook and I posted the picture on her Facebook and I was like, your nephew's first day of 11th grade. And, you know, I mentioned how I was going to miss our phone call later because she would always call and check in and see how his first day was. So those are some of the things that have really helped get me through this time.
Yeah. So it sounds like, Jessica, that you found creative ways for what works for you, right? And as we know, grief is tricky. Grief shows up in different type of ways. And more importantly, everybody grieves different, right? Yeah. You often hear people think that there's a one way to grieve because there's different stages, as we know, the denial, the acceptance, the bargaining, the shock, all those different things. And I say them out of order. They happen out of order. You know, there is no set order for how grief happens. I hear you saying is that I had to find what works for me. And even what works for me is incorporating things that work for me when I wasn't grieving, right? The relationship that my sister and I had was I would pick up the phone, I would call her and said, hey, sis, you know, son starting school today, nephew starting school today, let me shoot you a picture. But what I hear you saying is that didn't change in regards to the picture. It was just adjusting to how do I show the picture? How do I communicate? How do I show up in this space that is yet so unfamiliar, right? Because I hear you say it, your sister just passed a few months ago. So it's so unfamiliar, but you, for the lack of better word, you're adjusting to what your circumstance is at this moment. I'm sure many days that's very tough.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are. I mean, I most days, I will be honest, I don't want to get up and get out of bed. I really don't. But I do, you know, because I'm a mother, I have a child who needs me, you know, it's not easy. Most days, the last 3 months haven't been easy, but, you know, I try to use those tools. I mean, everybody says this to me and I really try myself to give myself grace because this is a difficult situation that I'm going through. I am not the same person now that I was before she passed away. Mm-hmm. And that's an important thing to remind myself because, I mean, I'm here, I'm still Jessica, but it's a completely different version of Jessica because I don't have my sister anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's a big adjustment. It really is. And it's okay to take it one day, 1 minute, 1 second, if that's all you can do at a time to get through every day.
Use a keyword, Jessica, that I often use on many of my videos, whether I'm using it on TikTok, on Facebook, is give yourself grace. Don't be so hard on yourself, right? And mm-hmm. sometimes that's easier said than done, right?
Absolutely.
Sometimes finding what we call to be strength, sometimes it's hard to do. Sometimes mm-hmm. hearing the word you're strong, sometimes it's hard to accept because mm-hmm. sometimes people don't understand what we may be going through. Yes, you know, individuals mm-hmm. may have lost someone as well. But as mm-hmm. you said, everyone grieves different. Mm-hmm. Everyone processes different. But the most important key is just giving yourself grace, however that may look for the moment, for the hour, for the day, mm-hmm. for the month, whatever it may be. Jessica, you brought up something that I think is very imperative, mm-hmm. is being a parent.
Yes.
When you're grieving mm-hmm. and still having all the responsibilities of showing up for your mm-hmm. child. And some days I'm just going to be honest. And I don't say this lightly. Sometimes mm-hmm. that shit's hard.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
It is.
It's sometimes really it's hard. Yeah. Yeah. And so my question to you, Jessica, is what would be your advice for parents that are still trying to raise children that are grieving, mm-hmm. girls, if they're grieving over a family member, mm-hmm. over a job, whatever that grief may look like, mm-hmm. sort of walk me through what does it mean to actually still be able to show up for your responsibilities of being a parent, mm-hmm. but also showing up for yourself.
Yeah. So for me, I will say my son and I have an amazing relationship mm-hmm. and he's a little bit older. He just turned 16. So this obviously might not be the same had he been younger when this happened, but where I am with him right now, I cry in front of him. I let him know that it's okay to feel the emotions that I'm feeling. He's a boy and boys are always, you know, you got to be strong. Don't show emotion. Don't cry. Like none of that mm-hmm. is allowed, but like here it is. And, you know, so I let myself do that when I need to. Like if I'm crying and he comes out of his bedroom, I don't like try to, you know, pull myself together and stop. Like he'll ask me, are you okay? And I'm honest. I'm like, no, I'm not okay right now. I miss your auntie. Like this is hard. And typically, you know, he'll come hug me and he'll just hold me while I cry. And then, you know, we kind of go on about our day. But I think it's important to not hide your feelings from your child for a lot of reasons, because one of the most important reasons I think is because you're teaching them how to do things. And mm-hmm. I don't think there's any perfect way to grieve, but you like your child is going to lose you at some point, you know, mm-hmm. that's the real, we are all going to lose people at some point in our lives. And I think right. it's okay for your children to know that this is what it looks like.
Right.
And it might not be the same for them when they experience that type of loss or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever the case may be, but it is important for them to know that if you're feeling things, it's okay. If you're right. not feeling things, that's okay too. And, you know, I also think too, I mean, not to like keep repeating this, but giving yourself grace is huge because again, those first couple weeks, I didn't cook a single meal. Mm-hmm. I would wake up in the morning and be like, all right, I'm going to take something out of the freezer for dinner today. And then like, before I would know it, it was 3 o'clock and I'm like, what are we going to eat for dinner? And right. you know, somebody thankfully would have texted me or called me and been like, do you guys need anything? I'll bring dinner over. I'll pick something mm-hmm. up. You want to order something? Like I'll make something. So that I think is important as well mm-hmm. is, you know, giving yourself grace, but also accepting that help from people when they offer it, because mm-hmm. I am not someone who can ask for help from other people. So that was a really big struggle for me, was allowing people to do things for yeah. us. And again, that was something else that I think is important, because you're showing your children that it's okay to let people do things for you.
Right.
And you know, it's not easy. I mean, mm-hmm. I know it's easier for some people. I'm not someone that it is easy for. That I will definitely say is, you know, let your children see those things. Don't hide them from, mm-hmm. from your children, because it's important for them to see, to know that it's normal. And again, to teach them, because they are going to have to experience things like this at some point in their lives. And you may or may not be around to help them get through it.
Right. You know, I you said something that I often have to say. Well, I said it early on when I lost my son, and sometimes I still would say it, depending on the circumstances mm-hmm. and situations. It is okay to say you're not okay.
Yes.
Without mm-hmm. worrying about any judgment, without mm-hmm. worrying about someone feeling sorry for you. It is who mm-hmm. you really are at that moment, right? Yeah. So it's gaining the strength to just to say, I'm not okay. You know, many yeah. times I can remember after losing my son, people would say, Keisha, how are you today? And I'm like, I'm not okay. Uh-huh. You know? Yeah. And I think it caught people off guard.
Yeah.
One, because I think it is the normal conversation piece to start out with, asking someone how you're doing, regardless of what the circumstances may be.
Yeah.
And many times, I'm not going to say people lie. People give, right. people give the response that they think people want to hear.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes that response of I'm okay is because you may not want the sympathy at that mm-hmm. moment. Mm-hmm. You may not want the hug at right. that moment. So it's easier to just say, I'm fine. I'm okay. Yeah. On the outside, my shell may say everything looks good, you know, but yeah. on the inside, I am completely crumbling, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think you giving people the advice of hearing and being able to say, I'm not okay, mm-hmm. is just as important in their grief cycle, in their grief yes. journey.
Yeah.
yeah. So Jessica, so as we are diving into grief in, you know, your everyday experiences that you're going through, mm-hmm. what is some encouragement? And you may have already touched upon this, but mm-hmm. I want people, our listeners, to hear that there is some advice and encouragement that when mm-hmm. someone is grieving, they can give. And I think one thing I think is important is, again, as we talk about grief, everybody's cycle is different, right? But for the sake of our conversation, again, as you stated, your sibling passed a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And so in the early stages of your grief, what is some advice and encouragement that you would want to share with someone else who may be experiencing grief, whether it's more recent or longstanding?
You know, I think one thing, and I don't remember where I heard or saw this, but it was something that I've seen recently throughout this experience that really resonated with me. And it's something that I still now am reminding myself, and I'll probably have to remind myself of it a lot as, you mm-hmm. know, weeks and months go on. It's okay to feel sad and happy at the same time. And I will tell you that there are days where I struggle with that. Like if I'm in a good mood or I'm happy about things, I almost feel bad for not being sad. But like, it doesn't mean that I'm not sad or that I miss my sister any less. I remember a couple of weeks ago, and I think I posted about this on my social media, I had 2 days in a row where I didn't cry at all. Mm-hmm. And it was like a weird feeling, because I almost felt bad mm-hmm. that I didn't cry. Like I felt like I should have cried. But then I remembered, like, it's okay that I didn't cry, because right. again, it doesn't take away from the fact that I love her and that I still miss her. So I will say, like, I think people need to be reminded of that, that if you are happy, it's okay to be happy. It's okay to celebrate other things that are going on. And don't get me wrong, if you can't, that's okay too.
Correct.
But I think there's a lot of guilt that comes into play when you are feeling happy, when there's this big, heavy, difficult thing going on. So mm-hmm. I will say that that's definitely been something that, you know, has helped me get through it, is kind of reminding myself that it is okay to feel both of those things, you know, because I know that's like the cliche thing that everyone is like, well, they wouldn't want you to be sad. And you're right, they wouldn't. But it's okay that you are sad, but it's also okay for you to be happy.
Right. And I think, you know, that's one of the topics that's often not spoke about a lot with mm-hmm. grief, is it's okay to be happy, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you have forgotten about your loved one. It doesn't mm-hmm. mean that you don't miss your loved one. It's just part of our human emotion, right? Yeah. Because when you reflect upon moments of your life with your loved one, there's moments of happiness.
Yeah.
Right. And so you can sort of tie that into memories that you are experiencing when you're thinking about your loved one. There's so many different emotions with grief. You know, it's not a situation to where it's all going to look the same. So as we talk about grief, not all looking the same, we're 2 days post Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, sometimes holidays for many people can be very tricky for many different reasons, right?
Yep.
But do you mind sharing with us how the holiday was for you this year? This is your first Thanksgiving without your sister. And I think what I failed to ask you, Jessica, and I still apologize. Do you mind sharing your sister's name with us?
Sure. Her name was Hillary.
Okay.
With one L, not
okay.
two.
Okay. So share with us, if you don't mind, about how Thanksgiving was this year when you reflect upon your grief of losing your sister, Hillary.
Yes. So I will tell you, I haven't celebrated a holiday with my sister.
Okay.
In many years, again, because she lives in Colorado, and it's been a while since she's been home around a holiday,
mm-hmm.
but she was still a part of things. So again, we would call each other. She would tell me what she was cooking for dinner. I would tell her, you know, what I was bringing to mom and dad's house, or if we were going to, you know, my son's father's family's house, and we would FaceTime and all of those things. Earlier in the week, this week, I was very emotional. Like Monday at work, and I'm so grateful that I have an office and I can close my door at work, because mm-hmm. I cried a majority of the day at my desk at work. Like when I left work on Monday, my nose was like red because I had, mm-hmm. you know, wiped it so many times because I was crying. And I mean, I was dreading Thursday. And
I understand.
I didn't want to tell my parents that. Like, I was like, I wouldn't care if we skipped this year. I really wouldn't. But I didn't want to tell my parents that, because I knew that they wanted my son and I to be there for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. But then something funny happened.
Okay.
I woke up Thursday morning and we had a snowstorm, and I knew it was supposed to snow, but I thought the snow was coming like later on in the day.
Uh-huh.
And I woke up at like 7:30 in the morning and we already had a bunch of snow. And I was like, all right, I'm like, maybe it'll slow down. Maybe I can still go to mom and dad's house. Like, you know, whatever. And then my dad called me and he was like, did you leave the house yet? And I was like, no. He was like, don't. He was like, the roads are really bad out here. He has a 4-wheel drive truck. So he was like, I almost didn't make it up the hill by our house. He was like, don't come. We'll do this tomorrow. And I was like, well, isn't that interesting? Because here mm-hmm. I was saying like, I didn't want to celebrate. And then like Mother Nature and whatever said, you don't have to stay mm-hmm. home, relax, take this time for yourself. And that's what I did. And, you know, earlier in the day that day, a lot of people were like texting me and sending me messages and just like, I'm thinking about you. I know today's mm-hmm. not gonna be easy. And I mean, it wasn't. And like, it was a weird blend of emotions, because on the one hand, I was like, okay, I kind of got what I asked for. Like, I didn't really want to do anything today. But then on the other hand, I was a little sad because I'm like, I'm not with my parents today.
Right.
And I know that it wasn't easy for them either, because it was also their first holiday without my sister. So it was a lot. But when I woke up yesterday morning, I was like, I did it. I got through the day. The other thing too, to kind of go along with like the feeling more than one feeling at once, mm-hmm. I reminded myself, you know, because Thanksgiving is all about being grateful and what you're thankful right. for and all of that. So like, I reminded myself that it was okay to be grateful for the things that I have in my life that I'm grateful for, mm-hmm. and also miss my sister. You know, neither of those things negate the other. You know, just because I'm expressing gratitude doesn't mean I don't miss my sister. And just because I'm sad and in my feelings and missing my sister doesn't mean that I'm not grateful for all of the things that I have in my life.
Mm-hmm. So Jessica, when you, thank you for everything that you're sharing thus far, your information that you're given, I know to our listeners is so helpful. I'm sure they're very thankful for the advice and information that you've been given. When we think about our listeners, what is one thing, like if you were sitting down and you were speaking to someone else who had lost their sibling,
mm-hmm.
and we're just talking about sibling to sibling, right? Because mm-hmm. even though your siblings may have been different in regards to your relationship,
yeah,
it's still a sibling relationship that only mm-hmm. siblings really understand. So if you were sitting in a room and you all were facing each other, What is something that you would tell another person who is also going through the grief journey of losing their siblings?
I think the first thing that comes to my mind is that I would tell them it's never going to be the same, but it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And it's a really hard journey. It really is. But, you know, you continuing to keep going, even if it is just taking things second by second, because sometimes that's what you have to do. Mm-hmm. That's okay. And I think just remembering the relationship that you had with your sibling and remembering, and I know that obviously some people have had complicated relationships with their siblings. I think, you know, focusing on the good things, mm-hmm. and not dwelling on the bad things, mm-hmm. because you can't change any of that. And that's something that I think makes things worse in the grief process, is focusing on the bad, because you can't go back. You can't change any of that. So instead of dwelling on that and focusing on things that you can't change, remember the good things, remember the fun times, remember the memories. And I mean, if that sometimes means remembering the bad stuff, that's okay. Mm-hmm. But don't focus on that, because there's so much more to it, mm-hmm. than that. I think the other thing too is, for me anyway, talking about her, like I said, to anybody and everybody who will listen, you know, and I do still talk to her, even though she's not here. Like sometimes, you know, I will just be like, Hillary, is this really going on right now? Is this really, are you really doing this? Like, right. You know what I mean? And like, that's silly to some people, but to me it's not. And you know, that's okay. Do whatever helps you in the moment. Mm-hmm. And the other thing too, is like you said earlier, what works for one person might not necessarily work for someone else. And that's okay. If mm-hmm. you're doing something and somebody's like, well, why would you do that? Don't entertain that, because if it's making you feel better and you're not hurting anyone else, obviously, then that's okay.
Yeah. So a very good information is still about giving yourself grace.
Yeah.
Right. Give yourself grace for the unknown. Because it's mm-hmm. all new. You know, today's grief may look different than tomorrow's grief. Mm-hmm. It's just being able to show up during that moment, right? Yeah. During that moment, that whatever emotion comes from that, mm-hmm. is being able to give yourself grace, walk through that emotion. Because what I've learned, Jessica, is that through my own grief, is that every time I deal with a new issue, every time I face a new trigger, mm-hmm. I'm finding myself to get a little bit stronger.
Yeah.
Right? Because the initial shock of that initial trigger, if it should resurface, it doesn't feel the same.
Right.
Doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. It's just, I faced that uncomfortable, unexpected moment, mm-hmm. to where when it comes up again, I can look back and I can say, I'm getting a little bit stronger, which is healing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think too, really quick, the other thing that's important for people to remember is, like, you know, we talk about these stages of grief. Mm-hmm. And I think when you hear that about anything, a stage of anything, people think that it's linear. And that, like, once you've gone through a stage, it's done and you don't have to go through it again. But that's not the case at all. Mm-hmm. As you said earlier, they come in different sequences, and like, you can think, okay, well, I got that one out of the way, but then something happens and you're right back to a stage that you already went through. So I think that's something important for people to really remember too, is that there is no, you know, set way in which those stages happen, and it's not linear, and I don't think it ever really ends either. Like, there's no end to it. Just because you may have gone through all of those stages doesn't mean you're still not grieving that person.
Right. And I think that brings up a very important conversation piece, right? Because I heard you say it doesn't end, right? But so often you may hear people say, that's been a long time ago. Just get over that. Like, you're still grieving. You're still crying. Well, yes.
Yeah.
Right. Because the memory of my loved one is going to continue for life. So being that it continues for life, getting over it is not an option. Right. Mm-hmm. What I often tell people is not about getting over the situation, it's getting through the situation. It's going through the journey of grief that's going to allow me to get to the point of healing. Mm-hmm. Now, healing doesn't mean I'm no longer going to cry. Healing doesn't mean that Jessica's no longer going to cry. Healing doesn't mean that our listeners are no longer going to cry. Healing means that it allows you to have a little bit more strength to get up out of bed when you just don't want to.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Approach situations that are fond memories of our loved ones, but we're able to do it without so much anxiety or resistance. Mm-hmm. And so I love to share that moment of understanding that no one gets over the loss of something they held on closely to, whether, again, it's a family member, whether it's a job, whether it's a circumstances. We just learn how to navigate through that grief process as we're working through the moments of healing.
Yeah.
So I think with you speaking of linear and understanding that even though the word stage can be so, it can be a misconception, right?
Yeah,
because you think of a stage to the end, there is no end.
No.
Stuff, you know? No. So Jessica, as we are getting closer to the end of our interview, one thing I always ask my guests, again, as we talk about heart to heart with Keisha B, heart to heart focuses on grief. It focuses on healing. And it also focuses on unforeseen circumstances. And so my question to you, Jessica, today is, what is one heart to heart message that you would like to leave our listeners today?
I would say be kind to yourself. Grief is not easy, no matter who it is that you lose or what, because as we know, grief doesn't just involve losing a person. It can be a job, a house, a friendship, so many different things. Mm-hmm. And I think it is so important when you're going through any difficult situation, really, to be kind to yourself. You know, remember that this experience for me is completely new. It's okay that I feel lost and confused and like, I don't know what's going on because I've never dealt with a situation like this before. And it's okay to not get it right because I don't think there is a right. And you just have to be kind to yourself.
Thank you for the message that you have poured into other people today. And I don't want to leave this interview today without saying my first interaction with you was on your podcast. Mm-hmm. So I think it would be remiss that we don't discuss who you are. Mm-hmm. And why you have shown up in this space today, but how you also show up in other spaces to help other people along with their life challenges that they may have faced. So at this time, before we close out, Jessica, I want to give you this opportunity. I want you to close out and tell people where they can find you at and what you do daily to help other people heal by being on the other side as an interviewer versus the interviewee.
Yes, of course. And thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to share that information.
You're welcome.
With the listeners. So I also have a podcast. It's called Unapologetically Overcoming, and it's available on all the platforms that, you know, you can listen to your podcast on. And it really focuses on topics that typically have stigmas attached to them, topics that people maybe are afraid or ashamed to talk about because of judgment from others, misconceptions about whatever that topic is. And it really gives people the space to share their journey. And I do it for two reasons. One is to let people know that they're not alone, because by talking about these difficult things, we really learn that there are more people out there who have gone through similar things that we have gone through. And also to help encourage people to let them know that they can get through whatever that difficult situation is that they are going through. Because a lot of times, you know, we do feel alone, and we also feel like we're never going to get out of whatever that situation is. Like I said, the podcast is available. It's on Apple, iHeartRadio, Amazon, Spotify. I also have an Instagram for the podcast. It's called it's unapologetically_overcoming. And then I do have a Facebook page for the podcast as well, which is Unapologetically Overcoming the Podcast. And, you know, I post the interviews and stuff on there, but I also post inspirational things kind of throughout the week, you know, to just remind people, you know, to stay positive and optimistic, even though sometimes it's hard. It's hard. I mean, let's be real. Nobody is happy and positive all day, every day. But, you know, I try to leave people with a little bit of positivity and optimism as much as I can every day.
So Jessica, thank you again, but I want to leave you with this statement. You and Hillary are forever linked. Thank you again for being our first guest on episode 1 of Heart to Heart with Keisha B. I have enjoyed having you here today. I have enjoyed learning from you today, because your message will also help me understand how I need to show up for my children who are also grieving through the loss of their sibling. So again, thank you, Jessica, and you have a great day.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to Heart with Keisha B. Remember, grief may shape our journey, but it doesn't define who we are. Healing is not a straight path, but with every step forward, you're creating space for hope, strength, and new beginnings. If today's episode brought you comfort or clarity, share it with someone who might need it too. Let's continue building this community of compassion and resilience together. Until next time, take care of your heart, your mind, and your soul. Honor your journey and always know that brighter days are ahead. I am Keisha B., and this has been Heart to Heart.